rest of the story. War song. Those two words themselves are in conflict with each other, and yet for the sake of world culture, this is a music of penultimate importance. Remember, our own national anthem is a war song of sorts. Anthropologists theorize that this was among the first music to be sung, that primitive people probably conjured their cult rituals around the war song, used it to accompany fiery dancing. In ancient Greece, songs were sung by Spartan warriors at their campfires. Other songs were sung to harden the spirits of those about to enter battle. The words to many anthems of war are based on sound psychological principles. What could be more encouraging than the brave deeds of forefathers or a victory projected, predicted in music? By the end of the 15th century, army units began to have trumpeters and drummers and pipers. Their music supported the discipline of marching, the urge to battle. So it was in the American Revolution. You know the songs we sang. But now you're going to hear about an enemy anthem, a rhyme for the Redcoats. Some say the British tune in 2-4 can be traced to a song of French vineyard workers, and others argue it came from a Spanish sword dance or a German harvest tune or a Dutch peasant song. We're just not sure, but we do know this. British soldiers sang it during the French and Indian War, a full 2 decades before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and they would use it to shudder the courage of the colonists throughout the Revolution, sometimes posting troops to sing it outside a church during colonial religious services. It was meant to taunt us. It was meant to make us afraid. But then a curious thing happened to this demoralizing melody. We stole it. We just lifted it from the Redcoats, words and all. We lifted it from the voices of our enemies. One patriot suggested that we should change the words befitting the colonial cause. And though he, a man named Francis Hopkinson, successfully came up with a new set of lyrics, our forefathers favored the original lyrics. Oh, Hopkinson's Battle of the Kegs was sung, all right, sometimes. But we, most of us, perpetuating a long tradition of musical, psychological warfare, knew what hurt the most. So the enemy heard their own song, their own words, thrown right back in their own ears. And you know what? It worked. It became a favorite in every camp. It was heard in battle, in defeat, and in victory. It was even played at the final surrender of General Cornwallis. Yes, the enemy anthem worked for the Americans during the Revolutionary War. And such was its subsequent popularity that it brilliantly survived the war itself. Benjamin Carr used it as an orchestral medley, the Federal Overture, written in 1794. A century later, visiting European composers would write variations on the tune, honoring the Americans and their efforts during the Revolution. And just think, this song was intended to be used only by the Redcoats to needle American troops during our Revolution, until with incomparable American mischief, we turned the needle around, and it was they, the British, who got the point for the Redcoat rhyme that we made our own forevermore was Yankee Doodle. And now you know the rest of the story.